Our second scripture comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, beginning in the fourth chapter, the seventh verse. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Tony Campolo, who is a sociology professor, a Christian activist, a wonderful author, and truly one of the best storytellers I've ever heard, tells a story about attending a funeral at a large African-American church in Philadelphia. He jokingly says he grew up Italian, which meant he was used to funerals that were scary. And he said he'd never been to a funeral quite like this. And he was 17 at the time. And the funeral, he says, was for a friend of his who had been killed in a tragic accident. And this is what he says. He says, the minister was magnificent. He preached about the resurrection and he talked about life after death in such glowing terms that I just have to tell you, even at 17, I wished I was there. Then he came down from the pulpit. He went over to the family and he spoke words of comfort to them. And last of all, he went over to the open casket. And for the last 20 minutes, he preached to the corpse. Can you imagine that? He just yelled, "Clarence! Clarence!" And he said it with such authority, I would not have been surprised if there had been an answer. Well, he said, "Clarence, you died too fast. You got away without us thanking you." And then he went down this litany of beautiful, wonderful things that Clarence had done for people. And then he said, "That's it, Clarence. When there's nothing more to say, there's only one thing to say. Good night." And he grabbed the lid of the casket and he slammed it shut and he yelled, "Good night, Clarence. Good night." He slammed that lid, pointed to the casket and said, "Good night, Clarence, because I know, yes, I know that God is going to give you a good morning." And then the choir stood up and started singing on that great getting up morning, "We shall rise, we shall rise." And people were up on their feet. They were in the aisles hugging and kissing each other and dancing. I've never been to a Presbyterian funeral like that. But whether it's us quiet Presbyterians or that joyous celebration, this is what Easter is all about. We shall rise. We shall rise. Because that's precisely what Jesus did today. On Good Friday, the Romans, the scribes, the Pharisees, even Jesus, his own disciples, knew that he was dead. They had watched him take his last breath. They had lowered him down from the cross. They had carried his body to the tomb, and they had laid him inside and sealed the tomb shut with a great stone. On Good Friday, Jesus was dead. And he wasn't pretend dead. He wasn't mostly dead. He was dead the way you and I, one day, will be dead. And then came Sunday morning, this morning. 3 days in the Sabbath, restrictions passed the women. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, says Matthew, the women went to the tomb to give Jesus his body, its proper anointing for burial. There hadn't been time for that on Good Friday. So they set out early in the morning, anointing oils in hand, worrying about how they were going to get that large stone moved so they could get into the tomb. But when they got there, the tomb was already open. And sitting on top of that large stone was an angel of the Lord, radiant with the reflected glory of God in heaven from whence he had come. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. And then go and quickly tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him." And the women believed. The first good news of Easter. And with a mixture of fear and great joy, which really, when you think about it, seems like an appropriate response to the news that someone you buried on Friday is alive on Sunday. With fear, but with great joy, they race back to tell the disciples. But along the way, the most amazing thing happened. Suddenly, there was Jesus, alive and well, standing in front of them. "Greetings," he says to them, which in the original Greek sounds a lot more casual. It's something more like, "Hey there," as if it was the most natural thing in the world that he should be risen from the dead and standing there in front of them. "Greetings," he says to them, and the women are so stunned and awed and overjoyed that they simply fall at his feet. Worship. And then Jesus repeats to them the message of the angel, beginning with that most profound of all the words our God speaks to us in Scripture: "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because now that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, so shall we." Because Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried, then on the third day rose again from the dead, we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. That's his word to the women. And that's his promise to us. That's what we celebrate here today. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, so shall we. We shall rise. We shall rise. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, death need no longer scare us the way that it often does in this life. Because the grave can no longer hold us, and death can no longer end us. We shall rise. We shall rise. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, death, our death, has now been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians, because he's almost taunting death. He says, "Death, where now is your sting? Oh, death, where now is your victory? Thanks be to God. He's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will rise. We will rise." So do not be afraid anymore, Jesus says to the women. Says to us, death is no longer something which can threaten us. I mean, we still have to die. That's our mortal lot. But our death is now going to be for us simply a passage from one life into an even greater life. And knowing that, and believing in that, and trusting in what our Lord has done for us this day means we just don't need to be afraid. In fact, it means we don't need to be afraid of anything anymore. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen to us? We die. Jesus has got that covered. We have nothing to fear. We don't need It's not just we don't need to fear death anymore. We don't have to fear anything in life anymore. Because we will rise. We will rise. And that's what Paul's getting at when he tells us we have this treasure in jars of clay. What's that treasure? Well, it's the resurrected Jesus, his presence with us. It's his resurrection power at work in us through the Holy Spirit. Jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay, that's us. It's an apt description of life in these fallible bodies of ours, of life in this fallen world. Jars of clay, fragile, easily chipped and broken by events and circumstances which we cannot control. Jars of clay, you and me. But now, because of all Jesus has done for us, these jars of clay contain that heavenly treasure he's given to us. That heavenly treasure which is his love for us, his grace towards us. It's that promise death will not defeat us or ever separate us from that love and that grace. And above all else, it's his powerful resurrection promise that he is with us in the midst of life. Always. Even to the end. Do not be afraid, says Jesus. Not just of death. We don't have to be afraid of life anymore. That's what Paul's getting at. Because we have this treasure of his resurrected presence and resurrection power in these jars of clay. Nothing. But his love will triumph in us. Paul says, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles. Be not afraid. So we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do. Be not afraid. But God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized. But be not afraid, because God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down. Be not afraid, because we haven't broken. So, says Paul, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart because we have this treasure, this gift, grace, peace, power, love, strength, present, resurrection, all those treasures dwelling within us, so that not only do we withstand trials and tribulations, in the end we overcome. Just as Jesus overcomes death for our sake, we do not lose heart, even in the midst of life, because we shall overcome. We no longer fear death. And because of that same resurrection power, even in jars of clay, we no longer fear life. We don't lose heart. You can think of it this way. I think this is how Paul means it. That Easter is not just about getting us up into heaven when we die. Easter is also about Jesus getting heaven down into us. While we are still alive. Or you can think of this. Let's look at a picture. Look at the picture I put on the cover of the insert. What have you got there? You've got jars of clay. But look specifically at those golden lines. That actually is solid gold. This is a Japanese art form known as kintsugi, which literally means golden joinery. And the story is that the favorite Chinese tea bowl belonging to a 7th century Japanese shogun one day broke, and he sent it back to China to have it repaired. It came back repaired, but it was ugly. It had iron staples holding the pieces together. So he gathered his craftsmen and asked if they could find a better solution. And they took those broken pieces and joined them back together with molten gold. And because of the gold now joining that tea bowl back together, the shogun thought it was far more beautiful, even than it had been before when it was whole. And that's what Paul's getting at. This treasure in our jars of clay, it isn't just about the defeat of death. It's about what Jesus is doing in us and to us and through us right now in the midst of life. Because of his resurrection, right now we are God's workmanship. We are his living kintsugi. These jars of clay lives of ours, they get chipped, scratched, sometimes completely shattered by what life brings upon us. But his resurrection power is such that he can always put us back together again. Join us back together again with the solid gold of His peace and love, healing power, mercy. And by His workmanship, we become even more beautiful because of the repairs. The very places where we were broken, now bearing golden witness to the one who not only raises us from death, but raises us up in the midst of life. We are God's kintsugi by that resurrecting power in these jars of clay. One of my favorite Christian writers, Henry Nouwen, he offers a testimony from his own experience. He had entered into a time of just great personal and professional distress. I mean, just completely lost his way. He was broken. And in his diary from that time, he says, "Today, O Lord, I felt intense fear. My whole being seemed to be invaded by fear. There was no peace, no rest, just plain fear. Fear of a mental breakdown. Fear of living the wrong life. Fear of rejection and condemnation. Even fear of you. And I feel so powerless to overcome this fear." Not knowing what else to do, he entered a monastery in upstate New York. He was a Catholic priest. And there he found his fears being relieved. 3 months into his stay, still in the monastery, he was able to write this. And you can see the beginnings of the healing, the beginnings of those golden threads, putting him back together. He says, "Dear Lord, in the midst of much inner turmoil and restlessness, there is a consoling thought. Maybe you are working in me in a way that I cannot yet feel, experience, or understand. My mind's not able to concentrate on you. My heart's not able to remain centered in it. It seems as if you are absent and have left me alone. But in faith, I cling to you because I believe your spirit reaches deeper and further than my mind or heart, and that profound movements are not the first to be noticed. Therefore, Lord, I promise I'll not run away, and I won't give up. I won't stop praying, even when it all seems useless and pointless and a waste of time." And then finally, 6 months after his entrance into the monastery, he records his exit back out into the world, a kintsugi vessel, refilled with life, refilled with the resurrection treasures of Jesus. And he writes, "Dear Lord, my heart is filled with gratitude for the time you've given me here. When I look back at this time, I realize that you have given me a real spiritual home. But understand that the spiritual home he's referring to is not that monastery. It was Jesus. New life. Resurrection life. That kintsugi life that he had been given, that he had received from God. That foretaste of heaven that God had opened up in his wounded heart. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. And this, too, is the good news of Easter morning. Not just life after death, but resurrection life right now. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. This slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. And we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal, in the heavens. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." That's the treasure we are carrying in these jars of clay because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is risen from the dead. Amen.